Tonight, I would like us to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Book of Numbers, chapter 14, and I'll read verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Tonight I want us to think about Caleb, his service and character. Because we see the testimony the Lord bore about him here. But this whole chapter 4, the whole issue started from chapter 13. And if you read from chapter 13, you see a lot of the matters coming from that place. And chapter 4 seems to be the conclusion of the whole matter. So I'll just give a recap from verse 13 and a few this, and then I'll come to our verse and we'll look at his character and service and character by three headings. So from verse 13, chapter 13, sorry, when the people of Israel came, before the Canaan, the promised land, Canaan, which God has promised them, the Lord commanded Moses, chapter 13, verse 2 down, he commanded Moses that he should select men from each of the tribes, one man from each tribe, so making up 12 men. And he said that each man, chapter 13, verse 2, let I think I should read this to be better. Chapter 13, verse 2, from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So that the men that you should select, not ordinary men, men who were rulers in their tribes, and each of them, one of them should come from their tribes. And since they are rulers, and they were also warriors, men of valor among all these tribes. And then chapter 13, verse 17 to 19, you see Moses commanding them. He said, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountains and see the land, what it is. And the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities there be that they dwell in, whether in tent or in strongholds. So the men went forth, and per our account, if you continue, they went there, they spent 40 days in search of the land, in surveying it, and they brought their reports. And in verse chapter 13 again, verse 27, we see that the people bringing their report in verse 27, they said that, and they told Moses, and Aaron, they told Moses, and said, we came unto the land where thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They brought a fruit, and when they went to the brook of Eshcol, the valley of Eshcol, they brought grapes and the fruit of the land, so rich, and they brought it. But you know that soon they brought this good report, they mixed it with their own fear, and exaggerated again the trouble that they saw there. And they said that, verse 28 of chapter 13, said that, nevertheless, the people will be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. The children of Anak were gents in that land. So that we see that this report from this man, it's not a report that we say they were lying. It's a report from this man. They were rulers in their various tribes, but they added it with fear. They spoke of this report with fear. And they did not actually paint the actual thing there. So, but yet these were men to be trusted. Men, it's not like Moses sent men who were cowards and ignorant, but these were men who were respected. Like, for instance, like if our president you send maybe an envoy to maybe Togo to find out something to come and tell us. See, these people, they will select those who are they trust. So at this time, when these people brought this report that the people they are stronger and the place, the walled city, they are very great, and that the giants were there, when the congregation heard this thing, they gave way to panic and discouragement. This report about the place brought discouragement to the people. The people were preparing to enter the promised land to go and take possession, but when this report came, the people began to panic and discouragement setting. So we see from chapter 14 coming, then you see what happened to the congregation. So chapter 14, verse 1 down. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, will God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or will God we had died in this wilderness? Now they have passed through all this wilderness, they've come to this point, and now hearing the report, the people said, no. God, I mean, we wish we were dead in the wilderness that we traveled, and why we are coming to face such a people, and we are not able to, I mean, per the report, the people are stronger than them. And you know, verse 6, Caleb and Joshua, and Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that said the land, rent their clothes. They were even disturbed about the reactions of the people by the evil reports. And they rent their clothes. And then, before even this evil report brought this commotion among the people, chapter 13, verse 30, Caleb stole the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What did Caleb see? This 11, per the report, it was Caleb and Joshua who gave a good report. So the ten men, what did they see different from what Caleb saw? That they gave such an evil report. Yes, Caleb saw the same. He saw, yeah, they were giants there. The city was walled, and looking at them physically, it is difficult. But Caleb knew that they are not going there by their own command. Caleb knew who was with them. So Caleb immediately told Moses that. He told the people. He said they should be quiet and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But already fear and panic and discontent have taken hold of the people. And the people, even chapter 40, verse 10, they thought of even stoning Caleb and Joshua. But you know, when things got almost out of hand, and the Lord appeared. Chapter 14, verse 10, we read that, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. When things got serious, when the people will not listen to Moses and Aaron, when the people will not listen to Caleb and Joshua, who were encouraging them to go on because the Lord has sent them to go. When all those things will not do, the Lord himself appeared, his glory appeared. And let's look at when the Lord appeared, this is the pronouncement he made. The Lord made this pronouncement about the people. Verse 23, surely, talking about the people, they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. So you see, the Lord came with judgment at that particular time, because the people were being disobedient and being rebellious. You people did not save yourself from Egypt. You people did not guide yourself through the wilderness. Look at how God, verse 22, the Lord recounted, let me even read for you, chapter 14, verse 22. Verse 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. The Lord knew that these who were now being rebellious have seen his work among them. And this will move them to know that though they are giants there, the cities are walled, the Lord is with them. But unbelief filled them with discontent, unbelief filled them with murmuring. But that's not what we are going to consider. It just gives us the background to verse 24, where the Lord pronounced this thing about Caleb. See, when the Lord has pronounced judgment about the people that they shall not see the land, and after that, look at what he said of Caleb, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. You see, so the Lord came with judgment and also a blessing upon the obedient servant. So from this testimony of God that God made about Caleb, we shall observe the following. Caleb's service for God, his motivation, and his gracious portion. That's what tonight we want to consider. In the background, the Lord said this about Caleb. And who is Caleb and what he did for the Lord? We shall learn it and also apply it to ourselves and see how His faithfulness is a lesson for us, and we can also look at it and how we can also move on as in our Christian walk with the Lord. So if the first is his service for the Lord. Because the Lord said, the Lord calls him my servant Caleb. I mean, he served the Lord. I mean, he has a service for the Lord. So that he's a servant of the Lord. So but it's a great privilege that Caleb was a servant of the Lord. He wasn't a servant of man or a servant of any other, but the Lord. The Lord did not say that a servant, Caleb a servant. He said, my servant. The Lord owns him as a servant. The Lord knows him as a servant. And the Lord knows him that Caleb was faithful to him. So he calls him his servant. But you know that all the nation of Israel were God's servants. They were supposed to be, because as you know, maybe in verse chapter 13, verse 22, the Lord even reminded them that he delivered them from the land of Egypt for his own purpose. He brought them from Egypt. He protected them and brought them to that land, to that place. And he owned them, for them, so that they have to do him a great service, whatever he wants them to do. But majority of them, what did they do? Many of the Israelites were not genuine servants of the Lord. But Caleb and few others were genuine servants. Yes, Caleb was the only one who was genuine, but Joshua and others were there. But then Caleb at this time was singled out because of God wanted to say about him. And you ask yourself, the Israelites, is it that they don't see what the Lord did for them or what? They saw it, but unbelief. Unbelief will never see whatever God does. Unbelief, there's a hymn that says that unbelief will scan the work of providence. It will scan it. It will not make any use of it. It will make it as if it's nothing. But those who know the Lord, who trust in him, who are his true servant, will always see what the Lord has and move on with what the Lord want them to do. So the Lord, in Exodus, 20 verse 2, before he gave them his law, he said that, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The Lord, no matter when Israel is sinning, and the Lord wants to punish them, and he sent, before he punishes them, he sent them a prophet and warnings. He always reminds them how his relationship with them is. He will remind them that they are his people. People that he has delivered from slavery for them to serve him. But then most of them have become rebellious. But let's look at what is the duty of a servant. The duty of a servant is to render good service. That's all. A servant is to render good service to his master. A good servant is the one who does his work well without complaint. Whatever his master says, he does. Whatever his master puts down, that's what he takes and do it. So we see the Israelites, they are at this point, their special service they have to offer now is to obey the Lord and go to the land and take possession. Countries or nations, God said they should destroy, and they should just go ahead and destroy. And Caleb was willing to do that. Caleb had seen difficulty in that land, but he knew that since the Lord is with them and the Lord has told them, they are a servant. Caleb saw himself as a servant. He did not sit down and complain as the others. He saw them as, elsewhere, he said that they are bread for us. If the Lord delights in us, he'll give us the land. They are bread. They are easier for, if the Lord is with us, they are easier for us. So you see that Caleb, stood out of this, service they have to do for the Lord, to go and take possession against these godless nations in the land of Canaan. But majority of them said, no, we cannot go because there are obstacles there. But who brought them at that particular place? It is the Lord. So we learn, we can see that as believers, we are called to serve the Lord who has brought us to his family. As Caleb and the nation of Israel were also called out from Egypt, they were redeemed. They are picture of the church of Christ, that in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, we are told the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. If we are really part of those who have tasted God's forgiveness, if we are one of his children whom he has saved, we are God's servant. He has brought us into his family to do him a service. And a servant does not choose his own or her own work. A servant does his work under the orders of his master, her master. Whatever the master says that he does. So we see that God's testimony of Caleb is a summary that he was a faithful follower. in the last verse, that chapter, verse 20, chapter 14, verse 24, the last verse said that, and had followed me fully. He has followed me fully. That is, the purpose of his heart followed after wherever the Lord led or directed him. Wherever the Lord's will is, Caleb follows. Wherever, it's like a dog and his master. I mean, dogs are very faithful servants. Wherever the master goes, he follows. Wherever he passes, he follows. He doesn't even care if he's going to fall into a ditch. As long as the master passes, then he also follows. That is how we are with the Lord. If we want to be faithful servants. You know, I mean, Caleb never went before the Lord. He was never presumptuous. Only waited on his master, and he moves. And at that point, the Lord said they should go to the land of Canaan and possess it. So why, slack? He had to just move, with the people, but the people were slacking. So we learned that, his service for the Lord, we can learn from that. We learned that Caleb followed the Lord fully. By this, he was willing to fight a giant since it was the will of God. There were giants there, but the will of God to go and fight them. He was willing to go. But, you know, sometimes many believers, we say we love the Lord, but some are only willing for easier duties. If you are a giant, you know, then others should take and fight, take and do those kind of, if they are giants, well, work that are difficult to do. And many, would like to really dedicate a few convenient portion of their time, their resources, and so for the service of the Lord. Caleb did not do that. He followed the Lord fully. He gave all his time, his life for the service of the Lord. But many, many people will want to do easier duties. If it is not too hard, then I will do it. Even if I'm doing it, I will look up for the convenient part and I will do. That is not, being faithful to the Lord. We should be like Caleb, being faithful, following the Lord. As if it's difficult, we have to call upon him. He will give us the strength. He will give us the courage, the wisdom to do it. We don't complain or sit back, but we move on. Many also give excuse if that service will cost their time and resources. And sometimes even if that service will bring them a frown from their own family members or the world, then many people will sit back and just let the will of God not to be done. Because people, maybe my friends or my colleagues, will laugh at me because I'm standing for the Lord. I want to be obedient to him. No, Caleb was not like that. You see, the multitude were all against going. But Caleb and I think Joshua, they stood. And they were so firm. Yes, the people want to even stone them. They stood firm. So you see that, yet many, many among Christians, for their service for the Lord, they would rather select those which will not bring them any trouble in life. Some also claim to be servants of the Lord, but careless if the will of the Lord on earth is being progressing or not. Whether the gospel work is prospering or not. Whether people are responding to the gospel. People don't care to pray even for souls. People don't care. We just pray for our simple prayer. We are gone. We don't even battle for souls. And yet, we always pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We call on the Lord that his will be done. What is the will of the Lord? His will is that we also do what he has commanded us. That's part of his will. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, Paul said that, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his master's ear to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So if the Lord's will is made known to us, and we listen to ourselves and we don't do it, we sin against him, and it goes against the Lord. Then it makes us not servants who are faithful to the Lord. Caleb was faithful. Despite things becoming difficult for him, he didn't sit back. He said, the Lord's will must be done. So I must put myself to the, and I put my neck to the work. And he moved on. And he wanted to go and clear those giants there, and they should take possession. So we see that he was what? Willing to do anything for God. We also learned that he followed the Lord fully. That tells us of his sincere service without pretense. Caleb, position wasn't pretense. It wasn't that he wanted to be a hero before the people. All the people standing up, so I want to stand out. No. His desire was sincere. He followed the Lord with his whole heart. And one of the safest things to test our sincerity is the desire to suffer for the cause of Christ as Christians. If I'm really sincere, whatever the Lord brings on my way, if it will even bring me suffering, I must commit myself. That show myself that I'm a servant. Look at those who go to the mines to work at the mine site. Some they have to go deep into the earth to dig for gold and other things. They have been hired for that. They are going to be paid for that. None of them will stand up. Oh, I'm not going to the pit. Then you are not going to work for the company. So with the company, you are servant to the company. But we as Christians sometimes we just sit back and we say, oh no, this work, I can't do it. Or if we even do it, we do it sometimes with a pretense. No, Caleb did not do that. I mean, many. If we look at even our secular work, how many are willing to, work so hard for their company or for their personal business, but when it comes to the service of the Lord, anything must go. Anything must be given out. You see, sometimes people can even travel, for example, from Accra to Tema every 5 days in the week. But on the Lord's Day, difficult. And it's like coming to church becomes like even a chore. Just maybe the Sunday they have to attend, so they'll say, maybe the distance or many things, they have other things to do. But if we are God's servants, if we see ourselves as people that God has purchased us, no. Nothing of that should be an excuse. It should be a joy in our heart to always be present, to always be available to do our things in a way that we shall always have time for the Lord. We shall have to plan our lives in a way that, not that after we have planned everything, then we see how we can fix anything we have to do for the Lord in it. No. The Lord's thing comes first, then we fix our things. We don't start with our own, and we find some point to fix what the Lord, wants us to do. So we also learned that Caleb followed the Lord fully. That teaches us he was cheerful and did all things without complaint. Look at the memories of the people in chapter verse 1 down. They were murmuring against Moses and Aaron. But did Caleb remember? He also saw the giant. He also saw the walled cities. So the attitude of this people, there are many also who serve the Lord with sadness of heart because maybe they think that what they do, nobody appreciate what they do, or people don't see what they do, so they have to do with the sadness of heart. No, yes, nobody sees what I do, but it's the work of the Lord. God has placed me in a place that I have to serve in this in particular capacity. It doesn't matter if men praise me or not, if men sees me or not, I am serving my Lord. I don't care whatever people will say, so long as it's for the Lord, I'll do it. That's the attitude of a servant. But it's like God has hired us. He has not hired us. In the picture of a servant, our servants with God is like a slave. We have God. Don't need to pay anything to us, because if I'm saved, he has purchased me with his own blood. I'm his slave. So I commit myself to whatever he wants me to do. So that those who want appreciation from people, because, and if that thing does not come, they will serve the Lord with sadness of heart. These people seek to please me, not God. They are not pleasing God. And so God will not accept anything of that sort. That work will perish. Yes, even if I'm a Christian and my service is that I won't accolade from people and people appreciate it. Yes, sometimes people appreciate our work that we do. It's okay. But that's not the motivation to do the work for the Lord. It's the Lord's approval that I look for. And Caleb did not wait for people to appreciate his report that, it was good land. When the people people were planning to stone him, he stood by his words and he still wanted to go and do that service for the Lord. So, if we do our work, praising us, men praising our mind, God will not accept anything of that. Even Christians, our work will be vain, because the Lord wants us to only look at him and to glorify him and give ourselves to that work and do it. A true servant of Christ, we must, as the psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We serve the Lord with gladness of heart. It's not the situation around, it's because of the Lord that we do whatever service we do. Yes, it might be difficult. We look unto him and then we do. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 6, the church, Paul wrote about the churches in Macedonia. That was even about giving. But it's a perfect example for any service for the Lord. He said that they were even in poverty, they were able to give in abundance to support churches in Jerusalem. And I mean that's how Christian service is about. It's not about my point. When I'm okay, then I serve the Lord. Even at time is when it's difficult, I still have to be obedient. It's the Lord who give me that comfort. It's the Lord who grant me the grace to be able to do it. If I'm willing to do it, the Lord will strengthen me to do it. It doesn't matter my condition and the situation in life I'm in. If I'm willing to obey the Lord, He'll give me the strength. And provide and supply the things I need for the work. So long as I trust in him, the Lord is able to do. We also learned that Caleb followed the Lord fully. That teaches us that he trusted the Lord at all times. Caleb trusted the Lord at all times. Look at the situation there. If you look at other instances of Caleb's, his character was brought about. You see that he's a man of, faith. He trusted the Lord at all times. Look at how he stole the people, the courage, in chapter 30, verse 30 to 31. And Caleb stole the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." At once. The people were lagging. The people were complaining. "Let us go up." So what was in him? "For we are well able to overcome it." We are well. He knows that, yeah, with their physical strength, they shall not. But he knows that the Lord is with them. "We are well able to overcome it. Let's go on. Let the difficulty come, we shall overcome it." But look at the man. "But the man that went up with him said, 'We will be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Look at that. People of unbelief. Caleb had faith in the Lord, but majority has no faith in the Lord. So that should be our attitude. We should trust the Lord at all times. In times where things are difficult, in times when things are okay, let us always trust in the Lord. That shows us faithful servants. Let us do as Caleb did. He was a man of faith who takes God at his word, despite the apparent danger. What Caleb was standing, it wasn't that there was the report that there were giants there were false. It was true. It wasn't that the walled houses were not there and the sons of Anak were not there. They were all true. But what? He's trusting the Lord despite all the danger. He could stand up. He could stand up. But you know, some Christians who are willing to give up a simple confrontation of trouble with whatever they are doing for the Lord. When the trouble arises, then they just let the thing go. It's a lack of trust. Yeah, it happens to true Christians also. So we have to always pray that the Lord should grow our faith, so that in times of our trouble, we shall be able to act in a way that makes us his servant. Else, we shall be Christians though, but some troubles come, some trouble will recoil. And we will dishonor the Lord. You know what Jesus said unto one man who said, "Oh Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to my family." He said that. And Jesus said unto him in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Such is the attitude of a servant. When we are Christians, we are Christians. We don't look back again and see things that we want to maybe accomplish in the world. Yes, we have our normal life and everything, but the Lord's service is the first. It's not any side, things that are beside them. So if we must be true servants of Christ, then we must not be doubtful when trials of affliction attend our obedience and service. It's the Lord who has told us. It's the Lord who has told us to move on. It's the Lord who has told us to do things. And if things come, we just lift up our voices to him and lift the matters into his hands. The Lord himself will come in. So we must never give up, but continue soon. Whatever situation we are in, the Lord will send us help. Remember when Peter was sinking, he called upon the Lord and he held him. He rose him, he took him up. That is how the attitude of us, our faith should be. Yes, we might be even sinking. The trouble will even try to seems to overpower us in a certain way. But we should be sure that so long as we trust in the Lord, we shall overcome all those situations. So I'll move on to his motivation. Because the Lord said of him that because he had another spirit in him. It was a testimony of the Lord. He had another spirit in him. He had another spirit. That is not mean. It was a spirit of bravery, kindness, and a gallant spirit. But that was not all. Because such, I mean, character the world has. There are many who are so, I mean, brave, and they can take up anything. They can sacrifice themselves for that, just for their for heroism and all that. But Caleb is beyond. He had that, but it was beyond that. His was by the gracious influence of the Spirit of God, who bestowed godly fear in his heart. His bravery was moved by his fear for the Lord. It wasn't his wish for heroism. It was his fear for the Lord. So it's a different kind of bravery that we see in Caleb. And these believers are given at a time of conversion. You remember when God called Moses? Moses told God that, Lord, I cannot speak. So call for somebody else. And the Lord told him, who made the map? Who made the internet? Who made human body? So it doesn't matter our difficulty. We should trust in the Lord. Because if we are really at a time of conversion, we have the grace. It's for us to pray so that the Lord will develop us. The Lord will make us useful. So Caleb, having this spirit in him, it made him fearless of every obstacle. It made him fearless of the giants over there. It made him fearless of those nations over there. But you know, naturally, none of us seek to obey, to please God. None of us, we want to fear God naturally. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, that there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. So it wasn't a natural spirit that was in Caleb. It was a spirit that is given by the Lord himself. Because believers are only able to follow the Lord faithfully because there is grace given when we were converted, when we came to the Lord. When we came and he saved us from our sins, he washed us, he gave us, that grace in our heart. In Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And in Ephesians 2:10, said that we are, 2:9, said that we are created in Christ for good works. We are made in Christ for good works. So it's not something that is, that when we meet, we just recall. No, God has made us for that. So long as it is his will, if we are obedient, the Lord will give us grace for that. And we shall be able to do whatever we have to do. Furthermore, believers have received grace to understand to follow the Lord. In Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Yes, this present world is evil, temptation, godlessness, less godly fear. But yet, if we have the grace of God, we shall be able to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We shall be able to live as God's people in this world because he has given us grace. Only believers are able to bear the yoke and burdens of the Lord from beginning to the end. You know, some people can start a Christian life along the line, then they sit back. There's always a question mark on that because the Lord Jesus Christ said that his light, his yoke is easy. It's for those who have trusted in him. It's light to them. But those who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, his yoke has been very heavy on them. Christian service is very difficult for those who have not really come to the Lord. In Philippians 1:6, we are told that being confident in this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. It's a promise. If the Lord has done good work in me, yes, I will fumble, I will have my difficulties, but differently, his will, I will have the strength to accomplish his will. I will not look upon why his will is not being done. I will try, and he will push me. I will try to, climb, the hills of all difficulties, and the Lord will not let me fall. He will be with me, since it's his will that I'm following. So let us, like Caleb, serve the Lord valiantly, counting on his almighty arm to support our weaknesses. We are still weak. We have our flesh, all our sinful surrounding us, our weaknesses and all, even bodily afflictions, they are all there. Let us also trust his almighty arm to lift us up when we have even fallen, when we have even done amiss in the same, and we have gone into error, though we obey the Lord, but along the line, we ourselves were confused and we couldn't find our way well, and we think we are fallen. Let us still trust in him. He is able to draw us back and let us continue our work again. Let us also trust his almighty arm to direct us when doubts and fears are still set. Sometimes we come to a point that, yes, we are following the Lord and his word, and yet we don't know where to turn. We should just wait upon the Lord and call upon him. Let's trust in his almighty arm. He is able to help us. We go to the third part, then we come to a close. His gracious portion. You know, Caleb was a faithful servant. The Lord has testified he had a different spirit, which we have learned that is the gracious spirit of God that enabled believers to do things right. And now the Lord also did not, after the Lord himself had given that gracious spirit, and he's been faithful, he rewarded him. Isn't it interesting? The Lord himself empowered him and strengthened him, and he still gave him a reward. Because Caleb was willing for what the Lord wanted to do with him. He said that him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. In reward for his faithful following the Lord, his life was preserved in the hour of the Lord's judgment. You know, when the Lord was calling judgment on the people, the Lord said, no, for Caleb and Jacob, he said that even those men even those men that did bring up the evil reports upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. By Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to sell the land, lived still. They lived a time of judgment upon the people. The Lord preserved their life. For us believers, let us try to be faithful in our service for the Lord, because we have an eternal inheritance in heaven. And even in this life, we should have so many comforts in our life. In life trials, in life difficulties, I mean, in many spheres of our life, the Lord will be with us. But we have the eternal inheritance in heaven awaiting for us after our faithful service. Caleb was given a physical land. At point in time in Joshua, he went to Joshua, he told him that the Lord promised this land, and he was given this giant to go in. And at the age, 85 years, he went to fight these people and took possession of that land. So you see, Caleb was given such possession. God rewarded him for his faithful service. In reward for his faithful service, God also comforted him with full strength. Not only did the Lord give him a land to possess for his faithfulness. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 10 and 11, this is what happened. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. That is Caleb speaking. And he said, this 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years, 85 years now, 40 years, 85, as yet I am strong as this day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. The Lord gave him 85 years. He was able to go to war like the young men. You see, the Lord gave him extra strength than even our others. But what does this apply to us? If we also follow the Lord faithfully, we shall be strong in faith and in grace in all the days of our lives. We shall be men who are strong in faith and also in grace. We shall never, in Psalm 8, they say that we shall be like palm trees, in our old age and still bear fruit, spiritual fruit. Caleb had that physical strength. Yes, you will have some physical strength, but the main thing is that you'll be strong in faith and grow in grace, because as some preacher said, stronger Christians are cultivated at the beginning. If I want to be a stronger Christian, it's not when I've been a Christian for so many years and I know it starts from my Christian walk. I build upon it. So when I'm even older in physical age, then my Christian character is also built up. That's how it goes. So his faithfulness left a blessing to even his children. When his daughter asked him for a blessing, Joshua 15:19, and he gave her the upper spring and the nether spring. He had much to give, because he was faithful. God had given so much. He was able to give blessing to his daughter and his children. Let us also be faithful in our Christian work so that our lives may be a blessing on the young among us. Are we believers? Are we Christians? Let us also be faithful so that those, not our own children, those among us, like our Sunday school children or those who are among us in the church who are young, will also be blessed with our faithfulness. They will look upon us as an example. It is something we read about others who were faithful to the Lord, and we are so happy for them. Let us also be like that, so that the years who come up after us will say, oh, Mr. or Mrs. so and so was faithful in this. So why not me also be faithful in that? So our faithfulness will be a blessing upon those who will live even this life, that they will continue, life after us. And if we have children, our faithfulness will be a blessing for them, because it will be a testimony that their parents were faithful. So to encourage their heart also to be faithful. So we leave them example of godliness, which has a blessing even in this life and to eternity. So to conclude with what all that I've said about Caleb, if this church must continue in sound teaching and practices, those of us who have started it must leave example for the future. We are few, but in future the church will not be like this. But those of us who are here, if we are truly believers, let us leave example so that in the future the church will live upon it. Those who started were faithful, they were committed in this, they were people who gave their life for the cause of Christ. So why not we also continue? Let me give you a typical example of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. We know that we always refer them. I mean, almost for everything. But you know, this church has been there for about 370 years, even long before Methodist and other churches. But if you read their history, many men, not only the pastor, you can think of Spurgeon and Benjamin Kitchener, who were faithful, John Gill, and others. But according to history, their members were also committed. It wasn't just the pastors who were also, extraordinary. So look at up till today, they are still faithful in doctrine, in practice, and we can still draw example from them. And it didn't come overnight. They have to toil, they have to labor in Christian service, wherever the Lord has to. And today, over 370 years, they are still sound church. How many churches have been sound up to maybe 400 years? No, there are few. But Jehovah's Tabernacle have been faithful. And if we want to live a church that is sound, and we want to see it to continue when we are no more, let us be faithful like Caleb, because he left a blessing for his family, for his children. We can also leave a blessing for our posterity, for our own children. They will come and see the work that we have done, and they have to be happy that their parents or those who came before them were faithful to the Lord, and that they will continue. And the Lord will bless the labors of those who take up with the example that we have left. But if we ourselves are not faithful, the few years to come, there are a lot of churches in Accra which were Baptist churches which the missionaries started. But now most of them have turned to something else. It tells you the people who were there and who continued the work, they were not faithful. So the workers have to turn to something else. So let us advise ourselves, let us be encouraged to be faithful, because there's a reward in that, even in this life and the life to come. So this is Caleb, his service and character. So may the Lord help us, and let us think on these things to move us to faithful service.